For did I not say, in my word and by my spirit, that the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, made up of carnal things, reasonings, perceptions of the flesh, being able to understand things through the mind, through those things perceived around you. The weapons of your warfare are mighty through my spirit to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Ora kerese. Makarese kerediata. Mahareke hechenese. Yes, sir. For know that the enemy is stirred up against this place and against your determination to walk in. But do not fear, little flock. For I've called you, and if I've called you, then I've exalted you to a place to rule and reign with me, not only in the eternities to come, but present tense. Did I not tell you to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? But this wisdom cannot come through a perception that comes by the outward senses. Do not trust your outward senses. Do not put stock in feelings, emotions, or reasonings of the mind. But I say unto you, judge all things by my spirit. Listen, let peace, let your spiritual feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, which is the witness of peace inside of each one of you that follow me on this journey into the fullness of God. For humbling yourself and denying the flesh or the mind the opportunity to reason all things out will be to separate yourself moment by moment when necessary and step out of the fray and judge all things by the Spirit and say, Lord, I see only by your eyes, I hear only by your ears, and I will confess only by your mouth, says the Spirit of the Lord. Mahala ole kedesete. Munje ala klete, for the church at large gropes blind in darkness, although they say they can see. They live out of carnality, not just in the appetites of the flesh, but in the judgment of the things around them. Not seeing spiritual things or hearing by my spirit. But denying the flesh is not just shutting down appetites of the flesh, but denying the flesh is giving it any room for spiritual judgment. It cannot sit on the court of spiritual judgment. It cannot sit in the place of jury to make any decisions. All final authority and all final decisions come from my spirit and out of my word, says the Spirit of the Lord. So I'm raising you up for this hour. Hear what the Spirit would say. Hear what the Spirit would say. Your weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. They will exalt you. Mahalese, mahalese. Mine is for you to walk in a constant peace. Know that when you feel yourself wavering in peace and feeling the effects of the hour, that you're not ruling entirely at the moment out of the spirit man inside of you. Regroup, regroup, says the Spirit of the Lord. Continue to regroup, and you'll learn this place of constant, continual, everlasting peace, says the Spirit of grace. And by this, will be the which I'll bring forth a great outpouring against or with people who against the enemy will stir up his vengeance, but have no effect, says the Spirit of grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we just worship you right now. And those that are watching, just worship with us just for a few more minutes. Let's just go right back into the Spirit. We love you, Jesus. We put all of our dependency upon you. Yes, Jesus. All of our dependency is upon you. We know nothing else. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I heard that prophecy for the first time myself as you were hearing it. And so the Lord is reminding us of spiritual warfare. And he doesn't always do that. We don't have a spiritual warfare message every week. But just as of late, there's been a number of messages, starting with the Lord showing me those eight spirits that were sent. All the different ones, diversion, division, different ones, another gospel, perversions, distractions of every sort, infirmity. But we'll have this written up and printed, but again, the Lord wanted us to know and hear that not only the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but also that we are to be wise as a serpent. In other words, what does that mean? Well, wise as the enemy and wiser, because we now have the Holy Spirit. But as I said, I heard it for the first time, although I'm listening in my spirit now. So again, judge all things, because you're going to, in the days ahead, all of you that are here and those that are watching, you're watching tonight because we seem to be a precious few, but we're a remnant, and there's a lot more of us than what we actually know, but we're spearheads. I just know there's something like a divine compass on the inside of me that I could write a long essay on it and then still not explain everything that I know in the Spirit, but I know that the days ahead, that at some point there will be a paradigm shift in which God receives all of the necessary increments of authority that's necessary for Him to be able to grant us the fullness of this. And when those things happen, they speed up incredibly. I'm fascinated at other churches that, well, maybe not on this walk, but they're good people, good pastors, and they, I've heard their testimony. Some of them I know personally. There was I think God's made it hard. He kind of put us out here, away from the bigger cities and more affluent, and that's okay, because it takes you kind of have to really want to be here, to drive here and to be here. It wasn't just like the easiest thing, like. But I've heard the testimonies of others where it's like they didn't know how it even happened. One guy was telling me that he's over a huge ministry now, thousands. And he said to him and his wife, now I'm getting this secondhand with somebody that just works directly with him. He said they lost 10 years of their life. They couldn't even remember. And he's a brilliant man. I mean, IQ off the chart. And he's a good man, Holy Ghost man. But he said things happened so fast in those 10 years. Things escalated. They couldn't even, it was like we didn't even know what happened. The multiplicity of everything that happened in numbers and all kinds of things that happened. Well, we're not looking to numbers, as in that's not our fascination, but I'm telling you, that what we're calling on God for and the power is going to bring something that will come into a swiftness one day that'll be like when you wade out far enough into a river, you hit the torrent, and when the torrent takes you away, it just takes you away. So we know what that's about, don't we, Watson?
The stream. Watson, he got in front of the whole family and the inner tube that was up in the Carolinas, and we didn't see him until the end of the day. We couldn't catch Watson. Watson. Wilson.
But it's coming. What, he'd like to stop us, wouldn't he, the enemy?
I'll never forget. Dave preached one night. It was very powerful. Place is packed. We got a little church here, real little. But it's, I mean, you could, we just had, we crammed in the aisles here, scooched up the chairs. People had their legs up against tall guys. They'd have to sit in the front because they wouldn't be able, we had them scooched in. And Dave preached. It was so powerful. And I was taking him home, taking him to the hotel. He said, Bronk, he's just pulling out of the parking lot. He said, always remember this. If the devil could, he'd just totally wipe your face completely off. He just totally, he said, you are such a threat to him, you don't even know. But I can say that. The reason why I say that about all of us. They're called for this purpose. If you joined yourself and say, okay, I'm going to help that man achieve not only, not his goal, but what's in my heart. Stay in the Spirit. Judge all things by the Spirit. Don't fight with your flesh. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know exactly where he's going. It didn't really matter to me after I come out of prayer today. I didn't care. Just, Candy said, what's the title? I said, well, you can, I don't know. But you can give it this if you want, because they like to put something. Hallelujah. I know the scripture to start with. Let's go to a scripture. Let's go to Roberson 8:26, which is Romans. I meant Romans. I didn't mean Roberson. So I think, at least as far as I know right now, I want to look at this and then head towards another scripture and tie these two together, as in fellowship one with another and in an understanding between the two scriptures. Maybe you've seen it, maybe, but there's a great correlation between this scripture and another scripture in Ephesians that I want to share in a little bit. Now, Candy has said to me a number of times, and you've thought the same thing, how many different ways can you tell us we need to pray? I don't know. I don't know how many there are, but I do know in the encouragement to pray that there are also incredible truths that will encourage you for the purpose of change and for the purpose of staying in there and for the purpose of not giving up. I am fascinated, I guess. This may sound negative, but it's not. I'll explain. I am there, and I'm fascinated when I survey, or when I look into God and I look at and contemplate God, and I believe you'll probably have a similar thought or have had similar thoughts. The quandary is this, is that how far, it's just amazing to me, how far that we live below the capacity of who God is. I'm amazed still at the level of doubt and unbelief. And I'm not preaching at you. I'm just saying the level of doubt and unbelief, the program of level of doubt and unbelief that runs so deep in the outward man that it would still have an effect on the promises of God in us and who we are. You say, well, don't put that on me. No, listen, wait a minute. Let's just consider for just a moment of who He is. I mean, we're serving the Creator. Genesis 1 tells us that He created 6 days. He created, and the seventh day He rested. Now, this one that created a universe, I mean, the earth, the moon, the stars, the planet, the everything. I mean, He, all power, absolutely all power. And Jesus said, the works that I do, you'll do also. And greater, because I go to the Father. And yet we're still living. See, here's, if there's anything I want to do, I want to, in my life and in my prayer life and in helping you, to close the gap. To come to a place to close the gap. Because we've got this incredible God that created the universe. I mean, He did it once. He's going to do it again. He's going to absolutely do all of this over again. Revelation tells us, 21, 22. He says, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first universe was passed away. All this earth, as it is, this one completely is dissolved. God takes us off, takes us in heaven. And this one, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, is completely dissolved. It's totally burned up. Somebody said, well, how in the world, you know, all the billions of people that's ever lived, I don't know where God's going to put them at in heaven. Well, they're not going to be in heaven. They're going to be on a new earth. It's a new earth. And I don't know. One thing I know about the new earth, it says there's no more seas there. So it's an all land planet, and there's no way to know if the new earth has any size dimension like this one. In other words, it could be. Do you know, have you ever heard the graphics on our planet? Now there's stars out there. They got them all names. We are like a pebble. You could put our earth in some of the inside, if they were hollow, inside of some of these, and you'd have it would take millions. If we were a marble, it would take millions of us to make one of those planets. So if whether the new earth may be 100 times bigger than this one, I don't know. So there's a new earth. Why are you telling us this? I'm telling you this because there's a tremendous gap between this omnipotent, meaning all-powerful God and us, present tense, being able to get immediately COVID off of somebody, immediately the common cold or a headache. We pray, and if something happens now, we're like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. But how deep, how absolutely deep has religion removed omnipotent from us? When this one that created and then will create, and He has all power, and He says all authority has been given unto me. Now I give it to you. Go ye therefore, and then use the dunamis by the authority, the exousia power, the authority. Isn't that a quandary? I mean, wow. It's amazing that we haven't evolved, if you want to use the church. It's amazing we're still so But something is coming. Somebody said, oh no, you know, don't give that to me. Don't say, oh, listen, bless your darling heart. I like the ones that say, well, I just believe it. You guys are in works. Well, I would tell you this. I'm reaching for this. This is our Sunday night confessions. I'll use a prop. When they tell you it's all works that we're doing and we're trying to, why don't you just believe it and receive it? And that's it. Concerning miracles and those kinds of things. Ask for a menu. What? Ask them for a menu. You're already getting it. That's wonderful. Wonderful. I'm glad. Then can I have a menu? Because Jesus, He gave them menus. Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus. Here, you can't read it. It's in Braille. I'll tell you what it says. What would you have me to do? I can tell you on this menu, Bartimaeus, you know, you go to a fine restaurant, the first thing they do, or most any restaurant, but a fine one will bring you right to start with. Here's your menu. I'll be back in a little bit. You can place your order. The church at large just is absolutely flabbergasted if something squeaks out. And yet, we should be having services where the blind see. I'm glad he's not here. He's probably watching. But, you know, I don't go to bed condemned. I don't go to bed condemned because I know where I know what I'm doing as far as prayer and fasting. And that's enough right now. Don't take this in a bad way. But I think he's 8-9 years now been blind. We should have already had him. We should have already had him healed. That should have been something a long time ago. Now, I know I'm speaking like you think, well, you're a space cadet. This is crazy. Scientifically, it can't. Well, this book says it can. So Jesus would give them a menu and say, what would you have me to do? Well, on here, it says you offer at request blind eyes to be healed. That's right. Would you like it? Yes. Bartimaeus be healed. Well, y'all make it too hard. You know, you give them a regiment. You say they should be praying in tongues and blah, 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 blah. Hey, I'm willing to try your side. Could you pass me a menu? Menu, yes. I'd like to see what you have to offer and just at will ask a request here. You know what? What are you serving up? I have a sick mother or father. They're dying with cancer. Do you have that on the menu? Oh, don't be silly. No, that's what Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. We're going someplace, people. If we don't raise the bar of expectation and, you know, we can't lower it. This doesn't put us under condemnation. It, as the old boys say, it jacks us up. It makes us understand what we're supposed to be doing. That's the bar. The word is the bar that we're to be at. Omnipotent. Dave used to go through that whole list. My goodness, I can't. All the different, the 9 attributes of God. I know I'd miss 2 or 3, maybe miss 2 or 3. But omnipotence is one. Omniscience, meaning he knows everything. Absolutely knows every changing thought. Can you imagine this? Now this, I don't know how far we'll get it. I'm just listening. But just think of a God that knows ever-changing thought of 8 billion people. That's about what is there, 7.8, 7.5 billion on the earth. He knows everybody, present tense. He knows who they are, their address, and he could tell you every changing thought. And he could tell you what every angel is thinking. And wherever rabbit's at, and wherever squirrel's at. He's omniscient, and then he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's out there a billion miles away in space. There's a difference. There's a difference between his manifest presence. He's not his manifest presence. I won't go too much into that. But he's there, but he's not there like he's with us. Because he hangs around humans, sons and daughters. So he's there, but he's not manifest presence there. He's sovereign. In other words, he's the totality, the totalness of every other attribute that he is. Street vernacular would say, there ain't no more. He's it. He's the fullness of. And if you said omni or omnipresent, omnipotent, all those are basically, it's kind of like saying it double, because they're the fullness of power, presence, knowledge, all knowing all things. He's just, he's total justice, totally just. It's another one of his attributes. In other words, it doesn't matter who is doing what to who in our government. You look at all those things and you look at the wars and all of the different things. There is coming an hour in which the just God of the universe is going to judge everybody. Revelation 19, I believe. Somewhere close. You know what's amazing to me, this God that we serve? And I'm just making a point of this, how sparse or the difference between where we're living and what's available. That's what this point is. It's omnipresent, omniscience, omnipotent, all justice, all just. Do you know he's so just that at the end, John said, I saw death and hell emptied. Even the people that are in hell and all the generations that are in hell. In the end, he saw a great white throne and they come back to life. They stood once again on the earth, the billions and billions. And then he said there was the books, plural. There are books in heaven. And then there is a book, singular. And he cited both of them in the same chapter. He said, then the works, their works, they were judged from the books out of their works. So someone doesn't just go to hell and not know. They know that they're there. They know that they must have deserved to go there. But he's going to bring them out again, and I don't know how long that lasts. But here's how just he is. He will thoroughly show through a book all their works and their evils that they have done. Then after that, that book of works does not decide their future. Then the book, then the book, after the book of works, then the book of life was opened. And each man was judged from the book of life. Only one thing was his name recorded. The book of life doesn't have works. It only has a list of names. So there'll be a great deal of reading, probably by angels. to show each man what his hidden secrets were. Now, this is those that have not committed themselves to the Lamb. They'll be judged out of that. And then there is a judgment seat of Christ in which our works, but we're in the right line. Make sure you're in the right line. And each man whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast, John said, into the lake of fire where he will be tormented day and night. But God has all this. Don't you think he shouldn't in us be able to get a whole lot more done in the miraculous? You know what, really? I hate to say this. When people default to you're spending too much time on power things, they're defaulting to a place of saying, I don't know that we'll get there. So let's just stick to good news gospel, like the message of the gospel. That's a good, like, okay, I won't mess with you kind of default. Let's just get them saved because that's the most important. Well, I know that I would rather go to heaven sick than hell well. Think about that one just a moment. But he provided both. He provided an absolute both. So justice, immutability, meaning he's always the same. He never changes. Never changes. There may be a couple more, but the one that I didn't start out with is the most important, I should say. Well, how could anything be most important about who God is? Well, God framed for himself the one that he would identify the most, and that is agape. John 1 said, John recorded in one single verse, he said, God is love. God is love. So the more that we're able to approach him and understand that he is love, well, you say, well, you just talked about hell, torment, and judgment. I know, but this whole book, in the 66 individual books, this is all a book of love. Even hell was created because of love. How so, Pastor? Because it was meant for the destruction or for the punishment of Satan and all of his fallen angels. And God said, I will not, because of my love for humanity, I will not let this rogue, he had an angel, go rogue by his own free will. And I can't prove this by scripture. I'll just mention it, not to confuse you. You really won't have any way to have any doctrine on this except that to know the nature of God. I heard Dave say the fall of Satan most likely didn't happen like in a day, like an earth day, or an hour. That rebellion started in his heart. And he said, just think about this, knowing the nature of God, your Father. How long suffering is he towards sinners? How long suffering is he trying to get people before they dive off into full judgment? And he said, do you think that he would have treated any of his creation any different then he creates mankind? In other words, God most likely tried to get him back to start with, to get him to repent, or just, you know, before he went too far. There wasn't a redeemer for him, but before he went too far, I guess. That's all really conjecture at this point without scripture. But know this, that God is love. Hallelujah. And if we're going to get him out of the wheelchairs, we're going to have to go into the fullness of his love. Look at verse 26. Roberson 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's the Holy Spirit. When he said likewise, he's talking about two other things. Likewise, he starts out in this chapter talking about that the earth is groaning. Then he talks about our own spiritual born-again nature is groaning. But then he goes to the third groaning or the third intercession that's taking place in this chapter. And he says, likewise, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, or better translation is himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that are that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, we're going to look at a scripture in Ephesians for just a moment, but let me see if I can find. Bear with me. I want to read this. It's the same scripture out of the Amplified. Okay, so here we go. Verse 26. So too, the Amplified amplifies, takes Greek, gives us the nuances of the Greek. So too, the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weaknesses. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplications, our supplication, and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. We'll read 27 in a moment. Let's just think about this for just a moment. What is he telling us? He's telling us that in this prayer language that we don't know how to offer this our prayers. And when he uses the word worthily here out of this translation, he's amplifying what he says in the King James here. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. What we should pray for as we ought. He's not really describing here that this is limited in just mental knowledge. You could have a doctor's report that spelled out exactly what your symptoms were. And you could pray with perfect expression, as in knowledge by which describe the disease or the infirmity or emotional, some kind of emotional thing. You could write out an essay and just empty yourself, a catharsis of just emptied yourself of totally. But still, there's a language he's describing here and an essence by which the Holy Spirit is able to bring this in a spiritual nurturing that presents it before God. When you're praying in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit, you don't know how to worthily, it's not unworthily, like you're doing something wrong or whatever, to describe or ask God. I pray often in legible language. Paul said he did the same. But here we see an attribute of the Holy Spirit in which we all know and understand and hear. And here's what he's saying. He's saying, you don't know how to get all this across to the Holy Spirit in a place of true spiritual awareness and faith, like the Holy Spirit will present it. So pray in the Spirit and let the Holy Spirit lift this up for you. And he said, he, verse 27, who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. And we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good and for those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. Well, here's the thing. I know you're in the same boat. I love science. I love doctors. I appreciate modern medicine. I thank God. My dear friend up the road had a hip surgery the other day, and I checked on her a couple times, and she said she come out of it. She did well. It was great. I prayed, and others were praying, and she said, "I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. Thank God for these these painkillers, in essence, afterwards." She didn't say painkillers, but she said medicine. That medicine's a better way to say. What you take right after a deep surgery like that is painkillers, okay? So I said, amen. Thank God that God has given us science to supplement our faith. Thank God. And I appreciate it. But I'm telling you, this is a very calculated path we're on. It's a very intelligent, by the grace of God, path that we're on, because we're not following the script of fables. We're following what we know is true. And the Holy Spirit is, see, the intercession that he's praying for us. You're going to pray, 1 Corinthians 14, edification, prayers of edification, building yourself up. Jude 20, verse 20, on your most holy faith. But if you're part of this church, I can tell you what a lot of your praying is as the Lord uses you and I to go to a place we've never been before. Because I've not seen this. I wish I could tell you, well, when I was 10 years old, we had one of these revivals that the blind saw, the lame walk, and the deaf heard. I've seen miracles. But the separation of a God that could spin the universe into orbit, and then for a Jesus, his Christ, to tell me the works that I did, and he did it everywhere. We're not even getting, and this is not for us to go out of here sad. This is for us to go challenge this to say, how many different ways can you encourage the people to pray in the Holy Ghost? This is another one to continue to remind you to say, he's making intercession for us. And what is the intercession? God, Father, draw out the doubt and the unbelief. Pull it out of them to where it becomes first nature. I want to say second nature, but it becomes first nature for us just to, without thought, to offer the menu. To offer the menu. It would be embarrassing if we didn't have a confirmation from God like, I love you. You're my spearhead. You're the guys that are trying to lift the weight that you can't lift yet. So we have that. We've got it. We've got his affirmation. You guys are my sons and daughters that are trying to do something that hundreds of generations have not yet accomplished. But we do see from the word that was the happening at one time. When Peter's shadow, the light, this is not light from the sun, but I'm about, my top of my shadow, my head, is just about touching Candy's ankles, which probably 6 foot apart. In the book of Acts, if Peter's shadow, not that his shadow had any kind of virtue in it, but what it's saying in essence is the close proximity of his being emanated such power that the blind would see. They brought them in from the city. It said they brought them in from the countryside into the street. And they lined them up, and he just was, he would walk, and his shadow was healing people. And it says there that they were all healed. They were all healed. Now the difference between that, see, when my daughters call and say our kids or grandkids are sick, we pray, we stand in authority. When one of you call and say, Pastor, pray for me, we call and we stand in authority. I believe that it starts. I believe something starts. I believe. We've got to believe that something starts right then. I believe that, but usually up to this point, it kind of has its own shelf life. They get better quicker. I've seen that. They get better a lot quicker. And a lot of things I'm seeing, but listen, from the one that put the stars up there and the one who had a continual presentation of a menu and said to us, now listen, here's what we've got to conclude is this. I hate to be so brass or brash. Jesus was either lying. Oh, don't, please don't. He was either lying or we have a deep program of doubt and unbelief that runs deeper than what we've ever realized. And it's mainly because of religion. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us that stuff is going to be stripped out of us. I want it to be that when I pray over the phone or when I pray over somebody that they, oh, Pastor, let's be thankful for, I got that. I salute that. Praise God. There's no argument. Let's take our victories and relish them and say praise God. But listen, we are just a little ways away from where he was at. Present tense to the God that spun the universe and is omnipotent and said, my power, all power that I have in spinning the universe, I've given to you. We're, in a certain sense, we're light years away from that. But I'm telling you, the gap is being closed. The gap is being closed. We're gonna see this. We're gonna see this, that when they call, it's immediate. Go with me to Ephesians. I'm going to try to have you out of here in the next maybe 10 minutes. Ephesians chapter 3. I'd really like for you, if you can see this in the short time that we have, if I go over a couple minutes, you won't complain too much. If I could correlate and bring in Romans 8, 26 and 27 and 28 to this chapter or these verses in Ephesians. Now, we did a flyover. We went over 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I won't try to rehearse that. But that's the love chapter. And at the end, the last verse in that chapter says, now abideth these, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love, the greatest. So again, it underscores what I was saying is that God, if God could, I believe, announce himself, if you had an interview with God, and I used to say if I was a fox commentator, now I can't say that anymore because he might not let one of those guys. If I was doing an interview with God and said, God, could you just boil it all down? I know you're so complex in so many different wonderful ways, but could you tell us what your greatest, if you had one, or what would your greatest attribute be? And his greatest attribute, I believe he would say, I am love. The full essence of all that you're wanting in revival, immediate healings, and all these things comes in the fullness of my love. Now, verse 14 of chapter 3 says this. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might. That's dunamis, the word dunamis, it's power, by his Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And I want you to please focus your mind and your thoughts on these next few verses and the content of everything that I'm reading present tense on the real subject of love, just his love. And the doubt, and because here's the thing, love is not the agape of God is not an emotion, it can be felt. It's stronger than just a present tense atmosphere. It's power. It's absolute the might. It's who God is. It's the essence of who God is. So when Paul is describing this and he's praying that the church would come into the conformity of being able to receive this, he's not talking about knowledge. He's talking about an absolute experience with God, that God brings the fullness beyond revelation, but an endowment of change, an absolute endowment of change of into his love, that he would grant you, verse 16 again, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with dunamis, or all power, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, subject matter, that you, I'm putting that you, but I'm trying to express this, that you be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And he's describing these dimensions. I love those messages by Gary Carpenter on those different dimensions, explaining those things. Just awesome. But here he's trying to get them to understand a dimension of God's expressive love that turns into power, absolute power. And that you would know the love. See, he's still... his subject matter still love, the love of Christ, which goes beyond or passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. In other words, if you can come to that place of knowing his fullness, then everything is in that. It really, the fullness of his love. Because again, it's not a feeling like, oh, I just feel, it's power. The love of God is true power. Dave saw it in the end, and he said that room of agape, he called it a room, but he said it was a room of love. It was a room of agape, and everything was in there. He got a peek in there, and he put him, God just allowed him in just a little bit, and it had such an effect on him. He said everything. He was under, I saw him when he was in a 30-minute baptism. For 30 minutes, I saw Dave just baptized in a vision that he had just seen. And I was one of the few people that saw him right after that. And he said it was everything, just without thought, basically. Now I'm paraphrasing. Without thought, miracles would take place. You weren't trying to make it happen. It just took place. You just stretch out your hand, basically, and that's it. That's all. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. The fullness of God. That's the revival. That's what we're after, the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do, now look at this, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, usually, and it's easy to do, we interpret this verse externally, like And that's a truth in that. He's able to do anything. God can do anything. That's right. He can, because he is omnipotent. He's omniscience. He's everything. But if you keep this in context, he's describing that a realm of love that carries a weight of power that you don't know how to step into. Remember what Romans 8 says? You don't know how to pray as you ought. Because of this, the Holy Spirit has to make intercession for you with groanings. You can't worthily, even though you would know the exact, you could read off the description of the doctor's report, or you could present it mentally, but you couldn't lift it up in the worthiness of the faith that the Holy Spirit would come behind and energize with strength, and he'd bring it forth. In like manner, what Paul is saying here is this, that he's able, God, the Holy Spirit, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, I could say a blatant prayer, oh God, give us this revival. I say that all the time, you know, or confess it. But still, I can't coin in faith all of everything that's necessary that the Holy Spirit can take through intercession and through praying in tongues and lift that up to him. He's able to do. He is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think. I'm back in the place of Romans 8:26. I don't know how to ask for this. My thoughts aren't big enough to ask for all the glory that's in the anointing that's in this agape. But you're able to do this. How so? According to the power that worketh in us. It's according to the power that worketh in us. And again, this is very important as we're closing. It's not the power. What he's saying there, that word worketh, is a Greek word, energeo. I think it's a word we get our word energy from. Sure, spelled very close. But nevertheless, it's a word that means active. What is active on the inside? It's not describing here the power that is being demonstrated. Here's even the encouragement. It's not even describing that God is able to take what you can't imagine, what you can't fully express in prayer, correlating with Romans 8:26, and he's able to get that over to you so it's birthed in fullness according to that which is working on the inside of you. Now, we know all the four pillars, don't we? We know praying in tongues. How many different ways can you tell people to pray, right, Ken? We know praying in tongues and fasting and meditation and worship and all these things. But he's not saying it's according to the power that is being demonstrated, because then we're always limited by what we've done hitherto for. You understand? If it's based on, he's able to get this across to you based on the demonstration of what has come forth and is being at work, as in demonstration. This word worketh means that which is, I think of a washing machine, and it's agitating. It's on the inside. I've never seen one of these, Father. Never seen one of these revivals. I don't even know how to stand up and publicly bring it forth as I ought. I don't know how as a pastor, you don't know how as a person sitting in the pew or in the seat to say, Lord, we've never seen this. Yes, it seems like a great void is fixed between immediate healings and what the God of the universe is able to do. He's going to grow us up. I understand that. But if we don't get on this path of knowing that he wants us to do it and receive it and take it from him and say, Lord, according to the power, here's my hope. I don't know how you're ever going to do this. I don't know how we're going to go from what seems like from 0 to 100. But Lord, it's according to the power that's agitating or working on the inside. Boy, if that doesn't make you want to pray in tongues, if that doesn't want to make you skip a few meals, If that doesn't want to make you say, man, I'm going to spend an extra time praying and fasting. Remember fasting. I'll tell you this. In all my years, I have never... The times I've ever come out of longer fast, I can't tell you the quietness. I don't like hunger pains no more than anybody else. After 3 days, they go away, though, by the way. But I don't know hardly anything of all the limbs that's ever provided a deeper quietness. It's just like you can hear a pin drop in the spirit. We're going someplace. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. By the way, anybody have anything tonight to drop off? There's a dispenser at the door. Hallelujah. I love you all, and I so appreciate you listening to somebody who didn't know exactly where he was going to start with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. And we give you all the glory. It's really fun in the spirit to go to some place we've never been before. It's an incredible ride. But Father, we believe that you're going to help us to do it. The blind will see, the lame will walk, and the deaf will hear, and the dumb will speak, and great things will be done. Great things in the city. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a great night.